It's right up here to the front, all the way to the front of the bus. Did you guys all get a cup of coffee this morning? You did? Oh, you did. Perfect. We got coffee on tap back there. We got coffee on tap because your mom and dad might say they don't want you to have it. But I want you to have it. No, I'm going to be up here with the grown-up. Oh, yeah. Yes, sir. Find a seat. We'll get you one. Where would you like to sit? Right there? Perfect. You look pretty cool, cowboy. Church, we got a class for all these young men and women to go to meet Jesus in a way that they would savvy. Not just because I use big, giant church words out here, but back there in those classrooms, men and women have gone out of their way to prepare, to be ready, to allow the Holy Spirit to guide them and show and teach Jesus to these young men and women. So we're going to give them that opportunity here in just a minute, and I'd like us, the church, to pray for these children and those teachers. So all us cowboys, let's all pull our hats off. All us cowboys, that includes you, cow kid. Yeah, bronc buster. We'll all pull our hats off, and then all of us will bow our head and close our eyes so we can focus on Jesus while we pray. Lord Jesus, thank you because of who you are and what you've done. And it's our prayer this morning that all of us, men, women, and children, would come to understand you in a way that changes our lives. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to give ourselves corporately to you. We thank you for this time of worship that we were all together during this. So, Lord, thank you for all that you're doing, all that you've done, for your grace, your mercy, and your love, and for these children. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, now you got to trot to the back. You got to trot to the back. And if you're walking, you're not trotting. Are you trotting? Are you trotting? Are you trotting? You're walking on purpose. You're slow walking on purpose. All right. Yeah. Well, I ain't going to lie. Not that I ever lie. But I ain't going to lie. Were you there when Pat was singing, "Come, Jesus, Come"? The time's coming when there is no more sorrow, no more hurt, no more pain. We don't get through it, we get over it. And that's a real, oh my goodness. That's real. Our life revolves around the time when all of this is wiped out and we start brand new. A time when there is no more suffering, no more sadness, no more tears, no more nothing. Ooh, it's good to think about that. I'm going to put my head over here. But that ain't what I'm preaching about here. In the big picture, it is. Yeah. So, got your Bibles? You ought to have it. Oh, Lord knows we need them. Well, how important is it? It is so important for us, people, humanity, for us to be known. I mean, we spend all of our days, from the time we're little buttons in this world, we're trying to be known to somebody. We want to be known to our parents. We want to be known to our friends. We want people to embrace us. We spend so much time and energy and effort to be known. It's so important to us. Did you see during the Super Bowl, have you noticed on TV those commercials that Jesus gets us? Have you seen the billboards? Jesus gets us. That's such a profoundly true statement. Jesus gets us. He lived and he suffered. He went through what we go through. He's not sitting up there in heaven talking about, dang, that's too bad for them. He knows what we're going through. He knows what it's like to be here, to be us, to work through this kind of stuff. He gets us. When Jesus prayed in his high priestly prayer in John 17, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, John 17, page 826 in this Bible. If you ain't got your Bible, raise your hand. We got some New Testament Bibles back there we just want to give you. We don't have just exactly this Bible because we run out because we give them away. We give them away fast, but we order lots more. But in John 17, Jesus prays this, page 825, Jesus prays this to God. He said, I am praying not only for those disciples, but for all who will ever believe in the message through them. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, may they be in us, so that the world would believe that you sent me. That we would be known. Jesus gets us. We have that. It's a part of who we are. And the reason that I want to talk about that this morning is because earlier this week, another guy brought this up, and I've been bumping around this for a while. But so go to Acts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and Romans. And in Acts chapter 19, on page 848, Acts chapter 19 and verse 13, I kept bumping around this passage and I'm trying to work through what it means and why it's significant and what we got to know and what there is to learn and understand and in all of Scripture. But this in particular, there's no mistake that this is here. So in Acts chapter 19 and verse 13, let me read this. And this is Dr. Luke sharing his experience. And he's talking about the Apostle Paul. And he was with Paul. And in 11, he said, Paul had the power to perform unusual miracles, handkerchiefs and aprons that was just on his skin. He would wipe the sweat off. He was a tent maker and he worked. And so people would take those and they would lay them on the people who were sick, and they would be healed of their sickness, and the evil spirits would be running from them. That's a powerful thing. And so Luke recorded, he's a doctor, he noticed the truth of that, right? People were, if you had measles and they laid this handkerchief, you were cured. He would notice these things. So this isn't just somebody saying this. This is the truth. Luke saw this. But he goes on to say, don't let me get bogged down here. 13, he said, a group of Jews was traveling from town to town, casting out evil spirits. And they tried to use the name of the Lord Jesus in their incantation, saying, I command you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, to come out. And seven sons of Sceva, a leading priest, were doing this. But one time when they tried to do it, the evil spirit replied, well, I know Jesus, and I know Paul, but who are you? And then the man with the evil spirit leaped on them. Seven against one. The man with the evil spirit leapt upon them and overpowered them, attacked them with such violence that they fled from the house naked and battered. And so I've been working through why this is recorded. What's the significance of this? And one thing that I want to ask that leads me to is can I ask you how important it is that the devil knows your name? And we might think, well, I'd rather he didn't, right? Because if he don't fool with you. So if you're a chicken heart, if you just want to be in the back, forgotten, lost, not counted, then don't let the devil know who you are. what we're asking, what we're saying is if the devil knows who you are, that must mean that you are a threat to the kingdom of evil. Now, if he don't know who you are, he ain't worried about what you're doing. The Bible tells us, Jesus literally says, if you ain't for me, you're against me. So you don't get to be a fence straddling rascal. You don't get to stand in the middle and say, I'm saved, but I ain't got nothing to do. I don't have to. I'm saved. I got salvation in my pocket. I'm good. Because that's standing on the fence. Because you and I are called. Not just saved, we're called. And the reality of the devil not knowing my name is that I must not be actively causing the kingdom of darkness any grief. How do you feel about that? And see, this is just you and I have to consider and know this for ourselves. This isn't me pointing you. This is me preaching to me. This is me fighting through all this and just saying it out loud so you have to too. I got to tell you that these seven sons of Sceva, these seven boys who was going out doing this exorcism business. You ever heard that Tanya Tucker song about the rainmaker? Beat the drums, step back non-believers, all that business, right? That's all these boys were. Right? They had some way to help themselves, and they were doing it. So let me just tell you that a spirit is invisible. How many of us have seen a spirit? That's what I thought, because we don't see them. So how do you know if you cast a spirit out, right? Remember when Jesus sent that legion of spirits into that herd of pigs? You know why he did that? So there would be a manifestation of what he did and people would see it. And then the spirits all left, jumped in them pigs, and them pigs all committed suicide. So that the people would know what had happened. Because when the spirit leaves, he's just gone. Right? So these seven boys, these sons of Sceva, there was never a leading priest I saw recorded anywhere named Sceva. So this is some rainmaker showing up, talking about, I can do this, we can do this. And it happens that they noticed that Paul and other people, these apostles, were casting out evil spirits. And it showed up and manifested in something tangible. So guess what they decided to do? Listen. How great is this? We'll call on Jesus too. That'll help our pocketbook. And so they did. And when they told that demon, we are going to kick you out of here because on the authority of Paul, who has the authority of Jesus, you're gone. And the demon said, whoa, wait a minute. I know Jesus and I know Paul, but I don't know you. You don't have the right to use that authority. The demon jumped on him and whipped his stuffing out of him, right? Sent him off packing, naked and afraid. And then the whole town heard and saw, recognized what had happened, right? That this one guy had whipped these seven exorcists, and everybody got freaked out. The name of Jesus was more profoundly shared. More people came to believe, and they burned up their magic books. They said, we don't even want to be a part of this stuff, right? And so what they did was all for themselves. They weren't saved. They weren't doing something. They were using the name of Jesus. The reason I wanted to explain all that is because I think that's what happens to us. That we would use the name of Jesus. That we would want to use the name of Jesus to help us. Jesus, do for me. Can I tell you that we don't have the authority to cast demons out? We have the authority to not let them in. And a spirit who is a spirit being would recognize today the Holy Spirit inside of a believer. So if you are a born-again believer, have given yourself to the Lordship of Jesus, if the Holy Spirit is in you, Can I tell you that the devil knows your name? Not because you're you, but because the Holy Spirit is in you. And the devil has to give way to the Holy Spirit of God. God is the authority of all authorities, King of all kings, Lord of all lords. And the devil has to give to that authority. So it's not me that the devil fears. It's what I do through the power of the Holy Spirit leading me, guiding me. And you. And because it's recognizable in us, and the devil will respond to the Holy Spirit, because if it's just me, I'm going to take a whooping. But if it's the Holy Spirit, I have authorization to use that credit card. So here's what I'm saying. How many of us show up on Sunday to use Jesus to make the week? How many of us have show up on Sunday to use the name of Jesus, to use my church attendance, to use my, I'm going to feel good enough in this hour on Sunday to make this week work for me? Let me remind you that once you are saved, you're always saved. That you're not going to lose your salvation, that the devil can't take that from you. But what he can do is cause you to shut up, hide, be quiet, stay in the back, to not express the truth and the authority and the power that the Holy Spirit living inside of you can do, will do, and does. So we show up on Sunday to try to make enough power and authority so we can use the week. And we want to get back here on Sunday, generally speaking, so we can sturdy up again. Because long about Tuesday, I started downhill. Some of us, by Sunday afternoon, we're starting downhill. But we pile it up, right? We want to pile it up now. We want to get it in us now so that we can make the whole week work. We want to use the name of Jesus instead of use the authority that we have, that we possess in us, in the person of the Holy Spirit of God. We get to use that stuff. We don't get to say, we get to do. You follow me? Because what that looks like is we leave out of here and we never express our faith again. What that looks like is I leave out of here and I don't want to go in the world and talk about I believe. I don't want to go into the world. Our purpose is not to point out what they're doing wrong. It's to live like God has called us to live. And so when the world says this is okay, we have to not say, not only is it not okay, but I'm not participating. Our purpose isn't to point out that they're wrong. It's to be a witness of a holy God. But we will not do that because we fear getting called out. We fear that if somebody thinks I'm a Jesus follower, somebody might come ask me how to get saved. Somebody might ask me, what did Jesus do for you? Somebody might ask me something about my faith, and that freaks me out. And I don't want to be in that position. And so I'll just be quiet. And I'll show up at church on Sunday because I feel good about that. It fills me. It makes me stronger and better. Sometimes I get all the way to Wednesday before I really feel like a complete failure. We have this Holy Spirit living inside of us that we don't have His power. We use His power, His authority. And what that looks like is the action of that is going out into that world and seeing somebody who needs prayer and praying for them. Bumping into somebody who's scared and worried and nervous and lost and saying, hey, brother, what in the wide, wide world of sports is going on? What that looks like is giving out of my abundance, which there's nobody sitting in here that doesn't have an abundance, is giving out of my abundance to feed or to clothe or to help or to comfort. somebody with a heart that I could have helped. See, that stuff just doesn't come out of nowhere, man. God uses you and I to accomplish His will in this world. Our faith is an everyday faith, not just a Sunday faith. Jesus said, if you ain't for me, you are against me. He said, you cannot serve two masters. You can't be a Christian and hide yourself. You can fight the Holy Spirit. You can push it back. You can leave it. You can try to leave it at the house. You can try to leave it in the church. You can try to leave Him alone. But God is relentless. God is relentless. And the thing that you're fighting, the fear that you're fighting, the fear that you and I, the thing that you and I fight is not the world. It's not my thoughts. It's not what we are fighting is the Holy Spirit. God is for us. Who could be against us? But if we really believe that, we would be bold. We would stand. We would go. We wouldn't make our pile. We would give it away. We would reach down to help every place that we could. If we really believe that God is in control, the people He sends into our wheelhouse, we would affect, not avoid. And our struggle is that we want to fight the Holy Spirit because He is the one convicting us of the truth. He lives in us. The devil fears Him. The reality of that is, I want to ask, who are you really? We've been talking about this for a few weeks. This Spirit that lives in us is who we are. We are who God says we are, sons and daughters. We have the authority of the Creator of the universe in us. We have all of this because God chose you and I before the beginning of time. Jesus says in Matthew that you can tell a tree by its fruit. That burdens me a lot because I'm barren a lot of times. So people who don't know me see me. Do they even think that I'm a Christian? Let alone think that I'm a preacher. Let alone even, I'm not talking about the bumper sticker or the thing hanging on my window or on my hat. I'm talking about, do they see me? And if they see me, do they see Jesus? The reality of that is the Holy Spirit in us. So whatever it is that you do, whatever your job is, whatever you think who you are, you have worked, you've educated yourself, you've acquired the tools for that occupation. You've given yourself a place to do that stuff. I don't care what it is, but you've done all that stuff. And your reputation is that you're good at your job. You're good at a cowboy, or you're good at a bookkeeper, or a butcher, a baker, a candlestick maker. I love rhyming. You're good at that, and you've done all the things that's necessary for you to be that. But you know who you are? You're a child of God. You're a child of God. And your reputation is Jesus' reputation. What you work so hard to accomplish in this world is going away. The truth is, we have to uphold the reputation of our family, our father, our brother, Jesus. We want to be known as Christians, as Christ followers. That's who I am. Then, and only then, can I be a husband. Only then can I be a father. Only then can I be a pop. Only then could I be a cowboy. First, I'm a follower of Jesus, a child of the King. And can I tell you? The devil damn sure knows who I am. And you know what? I ain't taking a whooping. He has no authority over me or you. The truth, The reality of living that life is bold. It's not a quiet Christian life that some of us hope for. It's a bold, courageous, in the world, wide open faith. We struggle with that. We struggle with that. And the reality of that is, do we believe, like John says in John chapter 1, he that is in me is greater than he that is in the world? That story is Jesus literally says, could a man, a strong man who owns a house, be robbed by a weakling? No. But if a stronger man comes in, he could have what he wants. He that is in me is stronger than he that is in the world. And if we could embrace that faith, if we could realize that truth, if we will, our role isn't to change people. It's to live that truth. The world will see it. The world's affected by us, by who we are, where we are, what we do, where we go, right? So what I want to say this as I close, as I finish. When I was a kid on the ranch, and I'd get a ride out to where the cowboys was way before dark, I'd have to leave sometimes way early. I'd have to walk a long ways, trot a long ways, get a ride from others. But I'd get to the barn where the cowboys was gathering up to saddle up. And when I got there, they didn't go, "Look, here's that great little cow kid." They said, "There's the boss's son." And so they had treated me differently. I was afforded more privileges because I was the boss's son. And so if another kid showed up off the street, they might take some liberties with getting him bucked off. They might take some liberties with wrecking him out. It might be funner to watch that happen, but everybody was worried that if they caused me any harm, how the boss would feel. Can I tell you that that's where we are today? When this world looks at us, they're worried about us because they know the authority of God is behind us. They know that he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. The reality is that if I will commit myself to the way, the truth, and the life, to my faith, to my walk, to my everyday, if I will commit myself to that, I will have the tools. I will have the words. I can pray. I will know. But if I don't commit to it, then I'll just go home this afternoon and I'll shut the gate. And I think I'll try again next Sunday. And when the devil and his demons look me up, they're going to say, "Keep it up, Brett. Keep it up. Don't go out there in that world and cause yourself any grief. Don't go out there and raise the banner of Christ. Don't go out there and stand up for what you believe in. It'll only hurt you. It'll only cost you. It'll only be more than you're willing to pay." And then I'll remember. Like Paul said, that thorn in my flesh that'll keep me from getting too prideful. I'll remember that this isn't my touchdown. Why am I doing a dance? I'll remember that this isn't my money. Why do I covet it so? I'll remember that this isn't my ranch. Why do I protect it like this is the only thing I got in the world? I'll remember that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever would believe in him would never perish but have everlasting life. I will remember that I have the authority to live this life and honor God, our calling. Pray with me. Lord, I don't know that I say this and express your truth in a way that that makes sense, but I trust you with what I've done. I just trust you with what I've said, and I trust you that you will move in the hearts. Your Holy Spirit is alive and quick in this place. And so we've come here for a reason, to see you, to meet you, to learn about you, to be emboldened by you, our Creator. And so having done all this, Lord, having opened your word, having prayed and thought about what it is that you're saying and where you want us to go and what you want us to do, Lord, I know that you are doing great and mighty and powerful works in our midst. And we see everybody, and we don't know everybody's story. But if we would stay united, if we would stay together, if your people who are called by your name would stand and for what you call holy and true, Lord, you, the Creator of the universe, would give us the power to persevere. So, Lord, we trust you with our lives. We trust you with our families. We trust you with our church and our community, our state, our country. We trust you with our world. And we promise to be obedient to your word. It's in your Son's name, on Jesus' authority, that we pray. Amen. Amen.
When I die, hallelujah, bye-bye.